you can host the best backyard barbecue. When you find a professional on Angie to make your backyard the best around. Connect with skilled professionals to get all your home projects done well. Inside to outside, repairs to renovations. Get started on the Angie app or visit Angie.com today. You can do this when you Angie that.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's Angie.com.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
And welcome back to Going In Raw News Brief. We're going to try to keep this one brief today. Before we get started, do us a favor. Hit that like button. Hit that subscribe button as well. Larson, what's in the news?
What's in the news? CJ Perry, of course. Lana.
Yes.
In WWE. She was released recently. She was a guest on the most recent episode of Talk Is Jericho, and she shot pretty hard on WWE creative. This first bit here, these transcripts are from WrestleTalk. It's kind of the overarching thesis, if you will, of what she had to say. Quote, "My biggest problem with WWE is they don't follow through with stories. So when they do follow through with stories, it's effing great and everyone gets excited. I think that's the problem with WWE programming right now. There's no follow through with stories, period." She mentions the Hurt Business. They had something set up that was great.
Yeah.
Cedric, Shelton, Bobby Lashley, MVP. And for seemingly reasons that I can't understand, broke them up.
Yeah, it's funny because the first part of that is totally true. When they actually do follow through with stuff, it's funny because the one thing that WWE has that AEW or anybody else cannot lay claim to is the idea of the importance of the WWE title as it pertains to everybody grew up with WWE. You know, nobody can say they grew up with AEW. Nobody can say, I was a kid, I wanted to be AEW champion, because that didn't happen until 2 years ago. Mm-hmm. So with WWE, when you have moments like Bianca Belair winning the Royal Rumble, and it's like, granted, her road to WrestleMania, it wasn't the most fascinating build in the world. It was a lot of the, oh, can she coexist with Sasha, with her opponent, Sasha Banks? But then the moment of follow-through of execution at WrestleMania, the match was really good, and the moment is huge because it's like, oh, wow, the top of the tops, the main event of WrestleMania, nobody else in the world can claim that. So they have that in their back pocket, which they can rely on.
Yeah.
But stories are often, it's like an 80-20 split. It's like Roman Reigns, this stuff is really good, but it's like kind of the one story they have.
It's kind
right
of the
now.
Outlier for the most part. I know.
Yeah, you know.
We said several times, we say it pretty consistently, WWE does not care about stories. They care about moments. Or maybe a different way of looking at it is WWE focuses on moments more than story. Mm-hmm. Like they might try to justify or put forth enough of the story to make the moments feel consequential.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just barely that. And that seems to be the norm.
Yeah. And she talked about the process that CJ did that led to the finish of her Survivor Series match. And mentioned that the original plan ended up being way different than
The original plan was way different.
Than what actually made it on pay-per-view. These transcripts come to you from wrestlingnews.co. She said, we were supposed to do this table spot on the show. So, of course, the build was all the table stuff.
Nine of them, yeah.
Yeah. And then Roman, because he had a table spot with Sheamus, did not want the table spot in Lana's match. So there was some major pushback. We had a huge spot where I was supposed to be laid out at the very beginning. This is on the pay-per-view. I was supposed to get in the ring and then Nia would snatch me. The whole point was everyone on the team was heels and I was the only babyface. They were all going to be against me and she was going to lay me out. Then at the end, I had this whole sequence with Bianca. Bailey was supposed to get involved and cheat. So then I would prove myself. The table spot got taken out. Vince thought it would be hilarious if I didn't get in the match at all, that Nia would not let me get in at all, and then I would win because everyone gets eliminated. He thought that was the most hilarious thing. Shane McMahon thought it was hilarious. They said this has never been done before. I called Natty and said, Natty, I'm hiding in this corner. I'm crying. I just want to wrestle. I want to prove myself. Natty said, you're still winning. Who cares? I said, I want to prove myself. Then TJ Wilson wanted me to get in and wrestle a little bit, and then Nia was going to kick me out and say, you have to stand there. So he even had to fight for that with Vince because he said, I think it's important for her to show that she's improving in the ring. That's the babyface side of it, that she does want to get in there and wrestle, and they're telling her to stand there. That would have gotten a reaction. This boggles my mind. So the end quote. I said, this boggles Steve's mind, right?
Yes, yes.
Because if I'm a fan, you see this story play out over literally months. Who cares if somebody else does a table spot? Who cares about that?
I know.
They can do a million other table spots. This is the table spot that you've been setting up, so it sets itself apart from everybody else's table spot. It doesn't matter if somebody else has one.
They have a whole pay-per-view called Tables, Ladders, and Chairs.
Right.
Where there's table spots in half the matches.
Right, but you have built this. People care about it. They don't care what you find funny. They don't care about that. Who gives a shit if you find it funny? So use Otis for something funny. You've set this up. Like, follow through with it and give us the logical extension of this so that she can have her moment. And it's not about her even. It's about paying off your audience. We've earned this. Yep. There's going to be, you know, there's going to be like little girls out there who, for whatever reason, maybe their parents are actually fans of this. And they're like, hey, I want to get my kids into this. Look, this girl, she keeps on getting put through a table. Nobody believes in her. And then they get to see the payoff.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's funny, though. It's fun to be hilarious. And thank God TJ Wilson's out there trying to fight for any scrap they can get.
I know.
It's asinine, man.
It is. She also discussed some other weird creative decisions, like Chelsea Green's main roster debut, which ended up getting cut from the show. And these transcripts are from WrestleTalk. That's what CJ had to say. Quote, one time Natty and I did a whole segment with Mickie James and they debuted Chelsea Green. So Natty and I were at the Performance Center. I was managing Natty. It was the first time I was managing her. And Chelsea was supposed to debut with Mickey, and we did it all. We did it. We went home. I'm in bed. We get a call from one of the writers that they're cutting it. Vince looked at it, and he went, no, cut the whole thing. And we had to go back to film another backstage, all of it. Chelsea didn't debut. It was constantly weird stuff.
Now, here's the thing. It's easy to say Vince makes nothing but bad decisions. There's plenty of good stuff in the WWE. Mm-hmm. For all we know, this was crap. What if
Darley Pop?
What if Natalia or Mandy Rose, say Mandy Rose, right? What if she did a shoot interview and she said, yeah, there was this backstage segment where we were in the ring and Natalya and Tamina were getting their pictures taken 20 feet away. And they got mad because we were in the ring and it was great. And then they cut it. Well, you and I both know that wasn't great. It was kind of stupid. And if they had cut that, the show would have been better off for it. Okay. Maybe, but they kept it in there. Maybe
well,
this.
Live. They'd have the option to cut it out.
I wonder if that was actually taped live.
I don't know. That's the live broadcast. You can't shoot and worry about it later. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I know. But I think that backstage sequence with
it could have been probably pre-taped.
Maybe it could have been.
But you know, in the hustle and bustle of putting together a live show, you don't have those opportunities or as many opportunities to second guess yourself.
That's true. But in this case, it was a backstage segment that they did, and then they cut, and they went back and they did a different one without Chelsea Green's thing. So who knows if this was crap or not? I mean, maybe it was good. The idea being, though, that, hey, we want to debut Chelsea Green. We did it, and then they pulled it back is, yeah, that's weird. That's weird. But, you know, again, if it was crap and they're like, man, I think we can come up with a better idea. That's the problem. It's so inconsistent. There's good stuff. Like this Riddle Orton thing has the makings of something that could be really good. It is good right now. And I get the feeling that they're actually putting some effort into it. When they put effort into stuff and follow through with it, WWE's pretty damn good.
They can come with good stuff. Yeah. The Kofi MVP Bobby Lashley stuff has been
really
good so far.
You
mentioned RK-Bro has been really good. Obviously, everything they've done with Roman since he's come back has been excellent.
Mm-hmm. Even smaller things, though, like when they pivot, like with Smooth Otis now, I kind of dig the Smooth Otis stuff. I think it's kind of creepy. I think it works, you know. I even think that the Shinsuke Boog stuff works on the level that the performers are really good. You know, that it's some of it's just sort of ridiculous. Which is fine. It's wrestling. It's supposed to be ridiculous. So, yeah. I mean, I don't know. Some of it's good. Some of it's bad. But it is. I imagine just from her standpoint, it had to have been maddening.
Yeah. Elsewhere, she talks about like being on, I don't know if it's spanned over one day or 2 days, but being on set 19 hours to shoot a 60-second segment.
Yeah.
You know, and it was if it's a constant thing, a lot of this, I think in this particular instance, was Performance Center days. Pre-Thunderdome, so it was pre-tape stuff where, you know, I think she was talking about Vince constantly rewriting, constantly changing the show. And, you know, you show up to do your job, you think you did a good job, only seemingly to repeatedly have to maybe redo it, get cut. You know, you do it and you got to sit around and wait all day to see if you got to do it again.
Yeah.
With no communication, that could be frustrating.
Yeah, that would be frustrating. I could see that. I mean, I imagine that happens a lot in entertainment in general. You know, I mean, on one hand, I understand from WWE's standpoint, they want to make sure that what they get right. And yes, obviously, many times, especially we've seen over the past year with Raw, it's either undercooked or overcooked, and there's not a lot of good stuff in the middle. Lately, over the past 2 weeks, it's been a little bit better. Hopefully that continues. But yeah, I mean, it doesn't seem to be the best run operation, in terms of, getting the most out of your talent, but, you know, it is what it is. I don't think that's going to change anytime soon, at least until Vince is still around anyways.
Doesn't seem like it.
Speaking of creative, but on the NXT side, Adam Cole talked a bit about the split of the Undisputed Era during a recent interview with Alex McCarthy of Talk Sport. Adam Cole was asked whether it was time for the Undisputed Era. to split.
Channel News Voice.
This is what he responded with. He said, it was conflicting emotions. I had been literally attached to the hip, he means figuratively, to Kyle, Bobby, and then Roddy my entire run in NXT. The moment I debuted, I was standing beside Kyle and Bobby. Everything I had known about my time in NXT was Undisputed Era. Going in a different direction was scary. Also, it happened so fast. It wasn't this thing that we were preparing for. It was something that fell into our laps. We had very little time to process it or think about it. But looking at it now, I absolutely think it was the right call. It's never going to feel, especially when you have the chemistry we had, it's never going to feel like the perfect time. However, I do think development-wise for all of us individually It's been really, really important. I had the time of my life in the Undisputed Era. I really, really did. But I do think it was a good call.
I mean, I don't know if as a faction they could have... They did everything they could do mm-hmm. as a faction.
Mm-hmm.
And NXT as it was, or as it is, although it seems to be getting better, has a problem finding creative for kind of the second cycle for NXT talents. Because seemingly it was so used, you go through one, you know, you're there for a while, you go through one major story arc, maybe two, and you get called up,
mm-hmm.
you know? And Undisputed Era had been around, what, 4 years, three and mm-hmm. a half years, something like mm-hmm. that? And they had done pretty much everything.
Yeah.
And it was a bummer to see them split up because they were so good together. But yeah, it felt like at the time, spinning wheels.
Yeah,
didn't know what to do with them. And you know, the next logical step is, all right, what can we do with them individually as opposed to collectively? Yeah,
I think when you look at it now, it was clear this probably should have even happened sooner. Because I think that the obvious three out of the four that should be featured are being featured. I think, look, I'm not the biggest fan of Cool Kyle, but I do think that they have tried with much effort to rebrand him. And I think they have been successful at that. I think that he is very close to being out of Cole's shadow enough that he really does stand out on his own. I think making Roderick Strong the centerpiece of his own faction, the Diamond Mine, was a great, great mm-hmm. way to go. Bobby Fish, I don't know what's going to happen with that. But I think the three guys that were sort of the main pieces of the Undisputed Era, you can't argue that they have done really well. I think that they are absolutely focusing now on that issue of what to do after they've had their peak moment. And mm-hmm. as you see with Ciampa, you know, putting him with Thatcher, I think that's working really, really well right now. He might win those tag team titles. Gargano and The Way obviously
Great.
Have been Great. Terrific. And you see Cole with a renewed, you know, heel persona, which just sort of amplifies what we've seen from him before, still putting on, you know, the best match of any show that he's on. You know, I think that they're all reloaded really well. And it'll be interesting to see what they do now with Io Shirai, who's another person who
yep.
is coming out of that first big cycle with the title, and now they're going to reload her. I'm interested to see how that's going to play out. So I think they've been better about it, but about 6 months yeah. ago, that was definitely an issue with them.
Yeah, it seemingly was a massive issue, mm-hmm. massive issue. We watched Impact last night.
Yeah, it was a fun stream.
Another fun show. Here's results for you. So it was supposed to be Kojima and Ed Edwards
mm-hmm.
go on 1-on-1. That didn't happen.
Right.
Morrissey came on the Tron, said he took out Ed Edwards. So that match didn't happen. So yeah. instead, we got Kojima and Jake Something defeating Brian Myers, the most professional wrestler, and Sam Beal. Of course, Sam Beal is being mentored by Brian Myers. He took the pin after a cozy lariat from Kojima.
That is correct. We also had Rachel Ellering defeating Tennille Dashwood. I kind of forget how the finish of this went down. I remember there was a face-off between Rachel Ellering and Jordan Grace.
I thought they made up, didn't they?
Was that what it was? They made up?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that happened. We had TJP and Falaba versus Rich Swann and Willie Mack, but that ended in a no contest after a Violent by Design attacked. Seems like maybe Rich Swann and Willie Mack is going to end up getting a tag title shot against Violent by Design.
Seems that way.
That'll be interesting. I can kind of go. I mean, I tend to think that I would never bet on Willie Mack in a match anymore. I kind of bet on him to take pins. Violent by Design's kind of a big deal in Impact. So, yeah, they're probably going to lose. But you never know. Impact is weird. Sometimes they just have people win out of nowhere. Yeah.
Sometimes they go with the unpredictable finish. Chris Bay mm-hmm. defeated Petey Williams. And following that match, a huge brawl broke out. Because Ultimate X is happening at Slammiversary.
Well, yeah, this new that. Weird faction, right? Of yeah. Austin Aries.
No, Ace Austin.
Ace. Too much Austin.
Ace Austin, Madman Fulton,
Stone
Shira,
Cold
and
Ace Austin.
and Rohit Raju.
You got two eaters and two smaller guys, but they're all in the same faction. It's really weird. So yeah, that happened because Ultimate X, King of the Mountain's coming up soon. And then Steve Macklin defeated jobber Manny Smith to continue his dominant road to wherever he's going. And then in the main event, the Good Brothers wheeled out Kenny Omega with facial hair circa 2 months ago. And they defeated, I'm not even going to call this a team, the loose coalition of Sami Callihan, Moose, and Chris Sabin. Moose and Chris Sabin just, Chris Sabin, for whatever reason, just can't stand Moose. I still don't understand that. Sami Callihan, of all people, is trying to be the glue here. But none of that ended up playing out. I believe Chris Sabin ate the pin in this particular six-man
after
match.
A magic killer from the Good Brothers and Kenny got the pin itself. That's right. We got a SmackDown tonight. So far, only one item has been previewed for it. They previewed it last week, announced it last week. Kevin Owens is going to battle Sami Zayn, the last man standing match. It's also a qualifier for Money in the Bank.
Yeah, yeah. Kevin Owens got a whole week off before coming back, so good for him. Anyways, we're going to be doing our SmackDown recap tonight at around 7:30 Pacific, 10:30 Eastern. So join us there at the Twitch, twitch.tv/Steven Larson. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in. We appreciate it. Until next time, we'll talk to you later.
Bye.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well.
I absolutely love this because, you know, if you own a home, it can be really hard to maintain. It's hard to find people that can help you for a big project or a small. Well, whether it's in everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that. And find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish. Or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps, because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.